Yeah.
Yeah. Buckle your seats. This will be a one whole tool. It takes, so from here till lunch break. We call it the Father Ladder. It is one of the ways that we frame a session. Frame the session. It's kind of our structure that we keep coming back to. It's called the Father Ladder. Doesn't make any sense to me, but that's the way Lisa is, or Teresa. It's one of her idiosyncrasies. She saw it was a chart, actually, and to me, a chart is a chart. A table, she saw it as a ladder. So to each his own idiosyncrasies, and she can have hers, and I'll have mine. That's why they call it a Father Ladder, because it was drawn up to her as a, if you can picture a table, and there's a table on page 30, and that's where we're going, to page 30. Okay, and that doesn't look like a ladder to me, but I'll grant Teresa her own. So, but one thing, it is not a ladder that someone must climb to find God. Okay, and I've seen people kind of mock the Father Ladder by saying, oh, Sozo has this Father Ladder, you have to climb to find God. No, you don't have to climb God, okay? You don't have to do anything to find God. He's already found you. You just need to respond and you need to realize he's there, and that's what we're working with. It was first presented to them as a needs and fears thing, and presented in a form of a chart, like I said. It's one way to frame a session. I usually start out with this, and when I say frame a session, it's kind of like a frame of a house, okay? You got the frame of the house. All the other stuff is maybe different, but you got the basic frame. That's kind of supports the house. And this is one of the supports of the Hosoza session. Okay, it's based on the reality that we as human beings are triune. We have three parts. We are body, soul, and spirit. And each of those parts of us has different needs. Each part has different needs. And checking my grammar on that sentence. Okay, the body has a need for identity. You see me. That's my identity. You know who I am. It needs to have value. A body needs to be protected and provided for. Those are the things that this body of mine needs. My body does not need communication. My body does not need nurturing. My body needs clothing and food to take care of it. My soul, on the other hand, needs communication. My soul needs companionship. Okay? Then my spirit needs comfort, nurturing, and teaching to grow. Okay, and those are common to every man, it's every person on earth has these three body parts that each have different needs. And so that's the middle section of your chart there, that each of those parts of us have needs. And those needs are to be met by the people we interact with. And ideally, our first interactions are with our parents and our family members. And God has designed us to live within a family unit. So that one of the things is that each of those needs of our triune person gets met by some person. And the way the family unit is designed, our fathers generally take care of our identity. They give us our last name. Our fathers give us a sense of value. It's through our fathers we get who we are. Our fathers are the ones that protect us. Who do children run to when they're scared? Generally, if dad is accessible, they run to dad. And it's the father that makes them feel safe. When dad is absent, there's a feeling of being threatened, a feeling of vulnerability. That even though mom is there, and doesn't really matter really how big mom is, it's dad that they feel safe and protected by. Our fathers are the ones that provide for us. Okay, so those are the needs that the father meets. And then our mothers are the ones that provide nurture and comforting for us. I got my notes mixed up here, and I kind of thought that's not right, and I had to go think through this. Our mothers are the ones that comfort us. We need our dads for safety, but when we get hurt, we run to mom. Dads generally say, "Oh, get up, you're fine." I'm one mother that tends to do that. My poor kids are probably missing out on some nurturing. They're going to need a sozo for that aspect. And so, but I do have a greater tendency to coddle my children than my husband does. Especially, you know, when they get hurt, and he has to keep reminding me not to coddle. I have 7 sons, not to coddle them. That's the worst thing a mother can do, is to try to protect her child, her sons, from getting hurt. Don't, you know. And I do have some nurturing in me. It's our mothers that teach us. They're our first teachers. It's even, if you think about it, many people grow up in a home where mom reinterprets dad. I've found various cases with my kids. Daddy didn't really mean it that way. And not all of them, because some of them do have a relationship with him. They got him. There's one or two that I kept having to go back and re-explain dad. And the Holy Spirit kind of does that too for us with God. And then our soul has a need for communication and companionship and friendship, okay? And our friends and our siblings meet that need. So you see, the family unit is designed that if it works well, it meets the needs of our personhood as we grow, the needs of each individual part of us. Our fathers, our sons learn to be what it's like to be a man through their dads. Daughters learn what it's like to be a woman through their dads. They learn household skills through mom, but they learn their value as a female, as a woman, through their dad. And a son who grows up without that father doesn't know how to be a man, and he takes from the world what it's like to be a man. And a woman who grows up without a father's influence or with wounds with her father doesn't really value herself as a woman. She doesn't see herself, may not see herself correctly, because it doesn't matter how much her mom tells her she's beautiful. It doesn't how much her mom speaks into her identity as a female. If dad doesn't, there's something missing there. It's dad that people will run to when they've done something. Generally speaking, it's dad that they want to know dad's proud of them. Moms are always proud of you. You got to work for dad's praise a little bit more. Or there's that feeling. They want to know that dad is proud of them. They want to share their success stories with dad because they get that feeling of value and identity through their dad. Our siblings are often our first companions for life. They're our first friends, our first best friends, especially if you have, like I had, 4 and 5 years. They were close in age. They end up being best friends in the beginning because they're the only friends they had. So we get those needs met. And that through our father, siblings, friends, and mother. And then what happens is, okay, God is triune as well. God is 3 different persons, yet one. And he is a father. And it's through our father and our heavenly father that we get our identity. We are a child of God. He is the one that protects us. And he is the one that provides for us. He is our provider. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Holy Spirit is the one who nurtures us. Jesus said that he's going to send the Holy Spirit to teach us. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to guide you into all truth. It's the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So the Holy Spirit is the spiritual counterpart to the mother in the Godhead. And then it's Jesus. He said, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but you know what I'm doing because you're my friend. And he confides in us his plans, just like friends who get together and tell each other their secrets and their plans. Generally speaking, my kids' friends are going to find out what they're doing before I will. My 3 teenagers went skiing today, and their friends found out about that. A whole group planned to go skiing before I knew anything about it. Well, they're teenagers, and that's, you know, they don't necessarily have to tell me everything, but that's what happens with friends. We tell each other our plans. And so what happens is, in the family unit, some need is not met. So if I have a need to be protected, which I did, I grew up I entered my adult years with an intense need to be protected, and the way I masked that was just protecting myself. Okay? And I decided at a very young age that I would protect myself. And because I felt so unprotected, it got to the place as an adult, I can remember just in my soul, I want to say my soul, everything inside me was screaming, will somebody just protect me? That's all I need. Because I didn't. And so, and I didn't think God protected me either. I had a very mild father. And at times, and my mom's here, so I'm finding it difficult. Okay. I grew up, whether he was mild or passive, doesn't really matter. I saw him as passive. And that's the one thing you're going to deal with in a session. You're not necessarily always dealing with reality. And when we were talking about repressed memories last night, that's another thing to think of with memories. Memories are very rarely accurate. Very rarely accurate. So when I say I saw myself as my father as passive, it doesn't necessarily mean my father was passive. Okay? But because I had a need that wasn't being met, I saw my father as passive. I believed God was passive and he wouldn't protect me. And that wasn't healed completely until about a little over a year ago when I was in the hospital with my son who had a traumatic brain injury. And he asked me, are you willing to believe that I am your defense, that I will defend you even if you never see the evidence of it? Are you still willing to believe? It's a hard question for him to ask. But it's at that's the point that I came to totally trust him, that he will protect me and defend me. And now that and the verse, my life is hidden with Christ and God, nothing can get at me. So the wound was there from my dad, even though he didn't mean it. It wasn't intentional. My dad, I idolized my dad. And I had walls that kept him from getting close to me too. But the perception to me was he was passive. And so I believe God was passive. Okay, if you have a mother who's if you have a mother like me, if you have a mother who's not nurturing at all and just shoves you away when you're hurt, you're going to come up believing the Holy Spirit really doesn't know how to comfort you. And you can't, if you have issues with your mom, you're going to have a hard time, generally speaking, relating to the Holy Spirit. Mothers tend to be emotional. And as children, we can see those emotions as fickle. And some of us women are more emotional than other women. And we can be on a high one day and a valley the next day. And that uncertainty in children's lives can create a lie, the Holy Spirit is just all over the place. And it create a fear that they don't want to even worry, go into the Holy Spirit stuff because they have never no idea what's going to expect. I'm going to be all over the map. Because mom was all over the map. Okay? So it's a wound or lie that occurred in the heart that's projected then onto the Godhead and creates a barrier of either trust or communication or something. If our friends were constantly snitching on us, if our siblings are constantly snitching on us, our friends constantly rejected us, we're going to feel rejection from Jesus. Now, I have found, as a general rule in a sozo session, nearly everybody can relate to Jesus. Most of the problems lie with God and the Holy Spirit. And I think that's partly could be because we have a little more grace with our siblings. We're the same age. Our parents are our authority figures. They should know better. Okay, so we have this wound or lie, it's projected on the Godhead, and so we need to forgive mom or dad. And this is where it sometimes gets tricky, because sometimes as an adult, you know mom or dad couldn't help it, okay? I know that my mom lived out of wounds for much of her adulthood. And as an adult, I can justify any wounds that I've gotten from her because she's living out of wounds. But it happened as a child, and it's a child you're dealing with, in a sense. Because what happens is I get wounded in my heart, and that part of my heart ceases to grow. And whenever that's triggered, I go back to that child in me. Okay? So whenever I was threatened or I felt vulnerable, that part of me that had never known protection was what would rise up and protect me. And the walls would go up. And I might let them down for a while. And the moment I felt pain, up they would go again. There was only one person in this world that got through those walls before I had my sozo. Only one person was able to get through those walls. I don't know why. I don't know how. And it's my assistant pastor's wife. We're good friends. She was the only person who could get through those walls. Because it's triggered by life and it goes up. So, um, You have to remember that perception of unmet needs is the same has the same results as unmet needs. Okay? So when you're framing a session, what you're going to do is you can do it two ways. When you're doing the father ladder, you can do it two ways. You can ask them, tell me about your dad. Tell me about your relationship with your dad. You're just getting information. Okay? I had a really good dad. We had a great relationship. And most people, a lot of people start off like that. I had a great relationship. Well, did you really feel safe with him? Well, I'm not sure I felt safe, but he was a really good dad. Whatever comes up, I just write notes down. I don't keep track of the good stuff. That's my second, is doing that. If it's a good relationship, there's nothing there, I might write good, but I write the stuff I hear that might be a wound, that might be a lie. Might be, because there are people that go through some life circumstances and come out unscathed emotionally. Very, very rare. I don't know if you remember years ago, there was an earthquake in Japan. 3 to 4 days after the earthquake, they found a 4-month-old baby buried in the rubble without a scratch. I can't explain that. That's a miracle to me. And it's the same way with people's lives. It's like God somehow supernaturally creates a bubble, and you would think by the relationship with that family member, they would have a screwed up relationship with God's Holy Spirit or Jesus, but it's perfectly intact. So what I'm saying is a general rule. So if somebody tells you this horror story about their mom and then they have no problem with the Holy Spirit, just thank the Lord. And if they're reporting back to you the truth, that's great. He protected them. Holy Spirit protect them. Something happened there. Or it might come up later on in the session. Okay? So you're getting information. Tell me about your dad. Well, mom and dad divorced when I was about 3 years old and never really knew my dad. Mom had to keep fighting for child support. And whenever I did see him, he was always criticizing me because my grades weren't good enough and I couldn't. And so not what we would label abuse. But what's it telling the child? My dad's not available for me. And he's always critical. I can't do anything right. So, all right, I choose to forgive my father for not being available and for not looking for the good in me, for always criticizing, for allowing me to feel that I didn't measure up to his standards. And then right away, and I renounce the lie that you, Father, I renounce. Some people don't understand the word renounce. So sometimes we could use I refuse to believe or I repent of the lie. But people, there's a lot of baggage with the word repent. Repent is tied up far too much with sin, and repent really means to change your mind. Okay, but there might be. So I don't like to use the word repent because people feel like I'm telling them they're in sin and they need to repent because of our understanding of the word repent. So I use the word like I renounce or I refuse to believe the lie that you, Father God, are like my dad, that you're not available to me, that you don't see the good in me, and that all you see is a negative, and you're critical. And that I can't measure up to your standards. So I take the information they gave me about their dad, their mom, or the siblings, friends. We forgive that member of the Godhead. And then we renounce the lie, refuse to believe the lie about God. Now, I just do that automatically. I don't ask them if they believe that lie. Because if you've got a Christian in your seat, I guarantee you they're going to tell you that God is available. God is always there. If you've got a person who's raised in the church, they know that God is love. And so God loves them. But here, they might not believe it. I didn't believe it. I did not believe God loved me. But if you'd asked me, you said, I know God loves me. The Bible tells me God loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Got it. Signed, sealed, delivered. But it wasn't until I allowed my heart. But I also believed, and I went through this valley, this desert area, that I was at the place where I was about this close to deism. And deism is a belief that God orchestrated things, put stuff into place, set it into motion, then withdrew. My brain could not wrap around the idea that everything just happened. I couldn't make sense of that. So there had to be a God somewhere. But if he did, he certainly didn't care about me. And when I allowed myself to say that, it was the first step in healing. And when there are times you're going to have your client, when when their mind is engaged, they don't know that they're not believing these lies because the Bible doesn't tell them that. People aren't raised in a church. They have no trouble telling God what they think. It's those of us who are raised in a church who are scared to say things about God that we really believe. But if you go to the book of Job, his friend said everything biblically accurate about him. Job was ready to take him to court. And it was Job who had done nothing right, and the friends were not speaking what was true of him. Their words were very accurate. If you read the book of Job, everything they said about God was right on biblically. But they weren't conveying the heart of God. So when you get to the heart, what they believe in the heart because of the wound. So I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that you're like that, God. And what is the truth? Sometimes God will start downloading truths right then and there. And that's when if you're second, you're writing those truths down. You're not writing the lie. You're not writing what they forgave. You're just writing the truths that are to come. Okay? So that's one way. You start with, you're getting a family history. And you're getting information. We go through dad, and then I go through mom and Holy Spirit, and then I go through siblings and friends. Just getting information, and then we go through and do some house cleaning. Or you can go from the other side. You can go from the family side getting information, or you can start with the God side. You can say, tell me about your relationship with God. If God were in this room, where would he be? And it's going to give you a picture of their relationship with God. Well, I'm not sure he would even be in this room, and I don't really feel him anywhere else. I don't know where he is really. Okay. Well, I choose to forgive my dad for being unavailable, and I never really knew when he was going to show up. Okay. And you're going to come back and forgive dad, but you've gotten the information. When you go from the Godhead side, you're going to get to it right away. When you go from the family side, people tend to talk and talk and talk, and it's harder to get right to the quick there. When you come from the Godhead side, I still start from the family side still. There's times I start from the Godhead side, but you can do whatever you feel comfortable with. I've been in Sozo sessions as a second where they go from the Godhead side, and it's powerful. And so you're asking them, what about Holy Spirit? I don't even want to. Don't hear him. Don't really want anything to do with him. I don't want to go there. He can't be trusted. I don't understand all that dancing and that all that stuff. It just doesn't make sense to me. All that stuff people talk about the Holy Spirit. I don't trust it. Was mom a little bit fickle, or was mom not there? Was mom, you know? So we go back to forgiving mom. See how you can do it either way. You see. You're gaining information. And then forgiveness is a part of it. I forgive. I choose to forgive. If they're not willing to forgive, don't worry about it. It might come up later on in the session. And you'll have a chance then later. There is no way I got through this quick. Oh, that's why I got to do that. Okay. All right, now, the goal of this tool is not necessary to bring healing to their earthly relationship. Okay. The goal of this tool, the goal of a sozo, is not to, and particularly this, we're talking about family relationships, but the goal is not to heal family relationships. It's just to get information to see how the relationship with God is, see what can be blocking their relationship with God. Okay, healing of relationships within the family might occur because I get healthier, I can relate to my family better. Okay, and as I get healthier, they're going to see that health. They're going to see that, and we're going to interact, and it might happen, but it might not. That's not what you're trying to do. Your goal in a sozo session is to heal the relationship with Father God, okay? And this tool is getting away any of the things that they may have learned from their dad that God might be like, or Holy Spirit, or Jesus. Now, some people have expressed a concern about where we are. You'll find that people have, there are a number of people that are completely unaccustomed, some uncomfortable, with talking to each member of the Godhead separately. And some people have no problem with that. But some people have, and there have been people expressed a concern. The Bible tells us to pray to God. And they have a problem with praying. I don't have a problem with that. I figure they're all one. And we teach our children from little on up to talk to Jesus. And I wonder sometimes if that's why they, people have such a good relationship with Jesus, because they've talked to Jesus from little on up. Because children can identify with Jesus because he's a friend, because of his, there's something about Jesus that we can connect with little on up. And so if someone has a problem with that, if they're not comfortable with it, I don't worry about that. So if they can't talk to Holy Spirit because they're only going to talk to Father God, that's fine. Father God, is there a lie I'm believing about Holy Spirit? I can still get the lie out. All right? I might not be asking Holy Spirit, what is the truth? But I'll say, Father God, what is the truth I need to know about Holy Spirit? Because most people, while they're more comfortable with Jesus, they feel like they're supposed to pray to Father God. And the Holy Spirit gets lost in the mix somewhere. So you're going to have people who aren't, but that's okay. Or you're going to have people who are so wounded by one member of the family that they will not talk to Father God or Holy Spirit. They just can't do it. And so that's okay. Don't. You're honoring them. I cannot talk to Father God. He is too far off. I can't. Well, can you talk to Holy Spirit? No, I can't. I'm sorry. Can you talk to Jesus? Well, I might be able to talk to Jesus. They're all three. They're all one. So Jesus can tell your client what God is like just as easily as God can. It's no big deal. There was a guy, Laurie did the sozo. He was a Jewish man, an Orthodox Jew, and he would not talk to, he said, I don't want to talk to God. I don't want to talk to the Holy Spirit or Jesus. That's it. Because he didn't believe in Jesus. Okay? So that's fine. We'll just talk to Father God. By the end of the session, she's getting ready to close up. He said, wait a minute. Can I ask Jesus something? So then they opened up the relationship with Jesus, started talking with Jesus. This is where you can even do non-Christians. I have no problem saying, well, let's just ask a higher power. I don't have a problem doing that. I don't have to use my religious language. I've never done a sozo on a non-Christian. And in our culture, in our American culture, people have an aspect of God. So it's not hard for people to just pray to God. I'm involved in this shelter, and it's not unusual for them to say, no, I was praying to God last night. Well, what happens is if things don't work out, then they just think he's a genie, which is fine. But most people don't have a problem praying to God, even non-Christians. And so you can do it, but they have no clue about Jesus and Holy Spirit. And it's just, they don't have a grid for that, which is fine. They're all three one. Any one of them can tell you about the other one because they're so united. And you don't have to worry about that. So if you have someone who can't get anything, if you're not going anywhere with Father God, just talk to Holy Spirit the whole time. You might want to ask the person, who do you pray to the most? Who do you feel closest to? And address in the beginning most of your questions to that member of the Godhead until the other relationship is opened up some and get things moving that way. If you have someone, if I start from the Godhead side, I do occasionally, or if I have someone who's has a pristine relationship with their dad or their mom. So I get done, they've got an excellent relationship with father with their dad. He was a great dad. Then what I'll do is I'll ask him, so let's ask Father God something. Ask Father God what he thinks of you. Okay? And then I'll go from there to see how, now I'm getting information, but it gives them an opportunity. If they're hearing from God and if things are right, they get a chance to hear something from God right there in the beginning. But if they're not hearing anything, or if what they hear doesn't fit my core value, then either they were hesitant to be up front with me or something's going on. Okay, it gives me information. And that's why your client needs to be aware that it's okay if they don't get any answers. Because for you, not getting answers is getting information. You can get information even if they're not saying anything, even if they're not hearing anything. I get more I know that we're connecting with the Godhead when they start hearing. And if they're not hearing, I know there's still something there. Because God is always talking. And there are times when I get an answer. Oh, I wish I could remember it. I'm not going to go there because I can't remember it. So don't worry about that. But this is where your core values of who God is are very important. If you get an answer I'm not afraid to ask why in a sozo session, especially when I see the person in my chair is very frustrated. I very rarely ask it. It's a scary question to ask. There are two very quick scary questions to ask in a sozo session, and I'll get to the next one later. But the one is why. So why? But if they really want to know, I'll ask them. And if they get an answer like, well, he just needed to punish me because I'd done something wrong, that doesn't fit my core value, okay? Doesn't fit my core value. He disciplines us. He doesn't punish us anymore, okay? I believe, you might disagree with me, I believe all of his wrath is gone, done. It's been 70 AD, he poured it all out on Jerusalem. It's done, taken care of. I don't believe there's any wrath for us left. I don't believe he's punishing us anymore. That's not a core value of Sozo. That's my belief. But the answer they give you, if it doesn't fit with the core value that God is good, then you know, you don't tell him it's wrong, okay? You just let it go, okay? Or I have asked God to clarify, especially if I see them disappointed in the answer. Like they were really wanting to hear something else. You're going to have there are a number of people that are afraid to hear what God is going to say. And so you ask them what the truth is, and they get something that's disappointing to them. And I mean disappointing that doesn't fit our core value, that it reinforces their wrong view of God. That's a letdown. And yet they're thinking they may have heard it from God. And so, well, let's just ask. I'll do a couple different things. Let's ask Father God to clarify that a little bit, because that doesn't sound like God to me. Okay? So let's ask him. I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, you heard it. That's fine. But let's ask him to clarify a little bit. Maybe we just misunderstood. So I'll ask God another question on it. And often it gets clarified. It's, oh, that's what he meant. Or I'll ask Holy Spirit. Remember, moms sometimes clean up dad's messes or clarify, reinterpret dad, because kids don't, okay? Sometimes Holy Spirit will clarify that. Okay? Your core value is who God is. You have to know who God is. If you think God is angry, vengeful God, you're going to have trouble really discerning when the answers are really who God is. And that's one of the core values of Sozo. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. But maybe Sozo's not the ministry for you. I mean, that's fine. I'm not. We can disagree on that. And that's okay. Anybody have any questions? One of the things you have to be very sensitive to here, we had, I'm backing up a little bit because I didn't finish my thought a while ago. People have this idea that we're forgiving mom and dad, we're blaming them. And there was one man who felt abandoned by his mother, but she was a single parent and she had worked two or three jobs. And she had no choice, but as a child, he still felt abandoned. So we have to deal with the abandonment issue in a way that doesn't make him feel like I'm blaming his mom for abandoning him. And so I try to explain, if I feel led and I feel like we might be there, I try to explain, we're not blaming mom when we're forgiving her. We're releasing her from that, and we're releasing you from this, okay? And I try to remind them, you were a child when that happened, and it's the child that was wounded, that didn't understand, that felt abandoned. The adult in you knows all that, but we're trying to get to the wound that occurred as a child. And they're still resistant. I say, I'm not going to make you. That's fine. But why don't you just go through the words? If you're not really blaming her, just say the words. And that's fine. If they won't, I won't do it. But you have to be sensitive to a number of the wounds were the result of parents who simply couldn't help it. Well, all wounds are really a result of someone who didn't really know better. And you're going to have some people who think they should have known better. And then you're going to have some people who have a lot of grace for people and realize they didn't know better and feel like by forgiving them, they're blaming them. But they're not. They're releasing them. And they're releasing themselves from that prison and releasing that offense in a way that God can give them truth again. Okay? We clear on that? And I realize as a parent and as a friend and as a wife that I make horrible mistakes. My children probably will all need, well, they will all need Sozos. I don't have any. But because we're human, and I hate saying we're human. I don't say that anymore. Because we're not human. We can't use that as an excuse. We are partakers of the divine nature. okay? But we're growing, and it's a process. And giving them the freedom to realize, I'm not blaming your mom, and we're not holding this against, or your dad, or whatever. We're just going to forgive them to release the hold it has. We're going to release this offense by just forgiving and open up our heart to see what Holy Spirit wants to say about that. Okay? All right. Does anybody have any questions on the father ladder? Laurie, I got through this father ladder faster than I realized I would. Hey, God knows how much time you need for everything. There's one thing she's teaching me. Say, God's got this. He knows. So if you take more time in one thing, it'll just don't worry about it. We're on his timetable, and that's really, really freeing. Any questions, comments, or anything? Okay. Now we're going to do an activation. So, and so I'm going to have to go with All right. I want you to close your eyes. Because I can't, in a session, I'm going to ask them about stuff, and I can't interact with you on this session and this. All right. I just want you to close your eyes. And I want you to ask Father God. Father God, is there any lie that I believe about you? Now, if he's given you a lie, and if that lie, I want you to go with the lie, okay? I just have a feeling that somebody might have gotten an answer that their spirit is saying, yeah, but that's not a lie because of what they've been taught. I don't know. So I want you to forgive your father. I choose to forgive my dad. For teaching me this, or because I don't know what the lie is. I forgive my father for opening me up to this lie. I refuse to believe that you, Father God, are like my father. I refuse to believe this lie any longer. What is the truth? Now, some of you got answers, and if you didn't, that might, if there's a block there, that might come up when we do the activations for the other tools. Or it may be something, as you learn the tools, you want to go back and work on them yourself. One of the nicest things about taking a SOZO training is that you learn to SOZO yourself. And people who've been out of in a SOZO learn to SOZO themselves when they leave the session. I hate cutting this time short because invariably there's always a person whose God is still downloading stuff to. But I didn't know if there's anybody that wanted to share what just transpired between them and Father God. Any truth they got or whatever. I don't know if this mic is on or not. it's on. There we go.
So when you asked us to ask Father God if there's any lie we believe about him, and he told me that I believed that he takes away everyone that I love. So then I asked him, and it really meant in terms of male-female relationships, mm-hmm. because my father would interfere, I guess, with when I was younger, critical age, trying to learn. He was overprotective, so I didn't have many male friends. I didn't have, you know, or he would interfere with anything that might be developing, just to give you a little backdrop. So then when we asked, and when he said that, then I understood about my father, because mm-hmm. he took us from the Godhead to the Father,
yeah. right,
to our earthly Father. Mm-hmm. So then when I asked what was the truth, and then he said, I am protecting you and preparing you for the one who will love you best.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, because I could actually remember times getting mad at God and saying, why do you take everybody away that I love? You know, that kind
yeah.
of thing. And I could hear him answer back or impress in me, you have to trust me. So
mm-hmm.
that all the puzzle pieces fit together.
Right.
Just in that little exchange.
Good.
So.
Good. Anybody else? I often ask my clients, you can tell by their faces, there's times you can tell the answer landed well, and it was good. But there are times that I'll ask them, does that feel pat? You know what I mean by a pat answer? Just some people don't want, does that feel just standard, just like the standard answer everybody's going to give you? Does it feel like a pat answer, or does it really land well? Because I want it to land well. Because if they're just giving me back truth that they've learned from the Bible, they just, you know, renounce the lie that God was not available. Well, what's the truth? Well, I'm with you always. You'll find numerous verses being quoted, and that's good. That can be good. I'm not saying that's not good, because truths, when we meditate on, they become a part of who we are. But there are times it's just said because that's the truth that we know from the Bible that we've always been taught. And that's what we have to believe about God. So I always try to make sure that the answer lands well. Well, you can see it sometimes. You can see it on their faces. And it's an exciting moment. It's why I keep doing sozos. When I see that moment when they've received the truth from God. And that just, it doesn't even have to wreck them the way we, but it lands. And even if you got one, usually they get more than that. But I do check to make sure it lands well, that it fits them, that it sounds good. And most of my people are very honest. Well, not really. It's just, I know that's true. But or did you like that answer? If I'm feeling that, if I'm sensing that they're not, actually, do you want a little more? Well, yeah, I kind of would like a little more than that. So we ask again. Usually we'll get more, because God is generous. God wants to be close to us. He wants us to know how passionately he loves us. He wants more than you do for you to be free of the lies. And if you keep asking him, just go. You're not bothering him in a sozo session where you keep asking for clarity. And that person you're ministering to that person senses God through you for a while. And if you're pressing for more because that's not good enough for you, or because you're impatient and you want to move on, they're going to feel impatient and move on. There's a tension there between do I want to move on? Can we stay here a little more and get a little more? Or do we need to move on because it's going to get more truth the next tool? Okay? And a lot of that tension lies in how you're reading your client. Are they starting to get frustrated because they're not hearing enough and they need to move, and you're like, okay, they're starting to go down? Or or they really want to press this issue a little more and find out more what God thinks. Okay, there's kind of a tension there. Don't settle. Make sure the answers land. And there are answers that sound pat to you that are real to them. And that's okay. So you can ask them, does that feel good? If they say it feels great, that's good. That's what you want. You want his truth to land here. You don't want it to still be here. This is the biggest canyon in the world right here. That 18 inches is the hardest gap to overcome. Anybody else have any questions? Or anything they wanted to share as far as what Father God told them? Okay.
I felt that you were talking about pat answers, and I've been through a SOZO before and have been part of SOZOs. And I felt that he told me that I believe he's distant because my dad was distant. Mm-hmm. I mean, he loved us, but he worked different shifts in that. But that's what I've heard before, so it's not a pat answer.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I think that it was going on that made it different this time. So, yes, it's the same answer I've heard before. I already knew that answer. But what he showed me was a picture of Jesus holding me like a lamb.
Okay.
And I said, but that's not you, that's Jesus. And he told me that he is Jesus. So it's a 3-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you can... I thought, oh, well, here we go again. It's the same stuff. I'm not getting anything new. But he gave me something new. So
right.
Sometimes it's those other questions that are really important, too. So
yeah.
Right.
And you notice she went on. She didn't just say, well, what's the truth, and got a picture and left at that. She said, yeah, but. And she went on. And you're going to find that in a SOZO session. Just ask the next logical question. Yeah, but that's Jesus, not you. And so then... But and keep on pursuing that. And that all SOZO is you ask one question, and then you go with whatever you're given and go with the next question. And she's right. They might get the same answers, and sometimes they get frustrated with that, but just keep pursuing it. And she got a different truth this time. Lisa.
I was a little surprised by the answer that I heard when I asked God if there was any lies that I was believing. And I guess I have to go home and talk to him more about it, because I heard that the lie that I was believing was that he was vengeful, which I don't normally think that of.
Okay.
God. I don't normally see him in that light. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure why that came to mind or why he spoke that. But I was really overwhelmed by the... When I asked him what was the second question that you...
The second was to forgive your dad for showing you this, teaching you this, opening
right,
your heart to
then,
this lie.
What is the truth? Yeah.
What is the truth then?
When I asked him what the truth was, I just got this overwhelming feeling of love.
Okay.
And I heard him say, you have no idea how far I reach out to bring people in.
Okay. That's fine.
That I'm not vengeful. I love them so much.
Right.
So that's what I felt.
Good.
But I'm not sure why I got that.
Right. And there, it could be the power suggestion, because I've said that several times. Okay. And it could be something you need to pursue. But even if it's the power suggestion, he still was able to give her a truth that spoke to that. She didn't really know that she believed that lie. And God reveals it to it. And in this situation, because I'm part of, I've said it several times, it could have been the power of suggestion, but God wants to remind you again that he's not, and he's still able to give a truth. But it could have been something that you need to pursue further. I don't know, your thoughts on that? Yeah, just that, yeah, just, you know, yeah, that's... I am learning that from Laurie. If you're going to ask her a question, what do you what? Just ask him. She's all right not having answers. She knows who has them. Then I go through Holy Spirit. I don't always go through Jesus.
Are you going to
help? No. No. It, when we do the demo, the activation, we usually do one, and I just usually choose Father God. And because that's the wound where most, generally more people have. But there is a growing percentage of my clients who are having more problem with Holy Spirit with Mom. And yes. Or ask somebody to practice on you. Okay? You've got various people here that go to your church. Ask them to practice. You can take your manual. You can hook up with somebody. They can take their manual. They have it right there. And it's good practice to go through that. You can do it yourself. And if you find that you're not getting anywhere, find someone who's been to the training. Or I have Sherry and Carolyn have been sitting second for a while. They're a little more trained if you want someone. Just and have them go through the Holy Spirit practice. And it's a good time of practicing. And that's anybody. If you felt like, well, I'm good with that and I need more here, find somebody that's here that you know or in your church that you can practice. That can practice. Some of you from another church, if there's somebody that came with you, say, I'm having a problem with this. Could you go through the Sozo tools with me? And it gives them a chance to practice. It gives you a chance to come to a place of health. And
But in that thinking, that's what I was just thinking. If you have somebody who knows so much, is it harder to break through? Because it's taken me, 50 years to get to this point, and 2 years after this to even get to the point where I can have a Sozo.
It is very difficult. It is very difficult.
Do you have any tools that you can work with?
Let me back up because I make it sound impossible. I mean, same as you. My IQ isn't that high. I have a very high IQ and very logical, analytical person. And Laurie can attest to how hard my Sozo was. There is something, huh? And she said she's not very smart, which I wouldn't necessarily, and she always gets the smart people in her room. I did a Sozo recently on a man who was also very intelligent, very philosophical. And there needs to, it's not impossible because my Sozo changed me. I didn't realize it at the time. Okay, they're for you. This is for you personally, and you can't do this. You can't do anything about the person in your chair. Know that it's not impossible. Okay, you're going to have people that are very analytical, very philosophical, and they're going to question every answer they get. They're going to doubt every answer they get, and it might get frustrating for you. We just take the answer at face value. It's okay. Just let it, you got to let that go. God's not afraid of it. He's not worried. He knows that person in your chair. He knows your IQ is 159. He knows your mind gets in the way. And that's not a problem. But for you personally, it's when you're realizing it, and that is the number one step. And it's the next step is saying, well, let me give you a logical answer to the question for one. You're going to have three voices you're going to hear. Your own brain. It's going to be God, or it's going to be the devil. Okay? If it's the enemy, it's going to be condemnation. God brings conviction, not condemnation. If it's going to be enemy, it's going to be shame. There's going to come with it a feeling of, I can't do this. Even if your logical brain tells you you can. Because I'm sure there's things your logical brain tells you can do that you feel like you can't do. That somebody tells you, you hear that voice, I can't do that.
I don't hear that very often.
Well, you're lucky. Because, I mean, so, but...
Except for the forgiveness part. Please,
well,
everybody, pray for me.
We will. But, so it can be the enemy, but it comes with condemnation. And it can be yourself, and it can be God. But if it's yourself, you have a spirit within you that's giving you answers. Okay? And his spirit is within you. And if it lines up with him, if it's life-giving, if it's freeing... And if it's not, if it's speaking truth, the way your logical brain knows is truth, you can go with it. Because God is in you. We have this idea, it's either God or me. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You have his spirit within you. You have the mind of Christ. And he's got a higher IQ than 159. I got a feeling. And it can be God. So it really doesn't matter if it's God or yourself. Go with that voice. But that's what comes with your spirit telling your mind, man, that part of your soul to step aside. Howard Everly talks about, I think it's Howard Everly, that your spirit man then takes control. And that is the scariest place to be for those of us who are analytical. It is a very frightening place to be because I have a suspicion that your mind has been your protection, your mind has been your fortress, your mind has been your go-to place when you hurt. And when you try to get away from life, when you try to get away from the pain. And so you need to be willing to allow your spirit man to step forward and say, no, mind, you step away for a little bit. Okay? Let spirit connect here. Okay? And that may take an entire session for you. And that's okay. All right? We can schedule a session here at the house too. When you're ready, if you're ready now. If you say you're more ready now. But since Laurie always gets the smart people. Does that help you in any way?
Yes, ma'am. And I never really thought about it before. Because, I mean, Laurie could have done a sozo on me for, 2 years ago. But I wouldn't let her because she knows me too well. And so that was the issue at that point. I wanted somebody who didn't know me at all.
Right.
To do, because everybody at the house knows my junk. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't trust that they would not bring that to the table with them, that they'd be able to leave it with them. I wanted somebody that had, and it didn't. And I'm not saying, and I love Laurie.
Yeah.
It's just that for me, I was very skeptical that they could, it was just...
You needed the assurance that whatever she led you, it wasn't because of what was in her own mind or heart, what she knew.
Right.
Because you need to know that it was God.
Right.
And there are times, I did a sozo on, my friend that I told you about, and we did a demo here. And when we did this exercise, we asked Holy Spirit where we should go, and he said to go to Jesus. And I knew something that happened to her as a child, but I wasn't going to bring it up, and that was what he brought up. Okay, so there are times that you're going to do it. We're going to sozo people who you know. And you have to be careful that your prior knowledge isn't what dictates the session. Okay? But if it comes up, go with it. In her case, and you're going to have people like this, in her case, even if Holy Spirit would bring Laurie to that place, she needs the assurance that it is Holy Spirit and not Laurie because that's the way her brain operates. And that's okay. God's got that. He's not worried about it. It's not too late. It's not too late. That 2 years is not lost. Okay? And you have to remember that. Okay? I hope I've helped you. You can talk to me later because I don't know you.
I think you've done an amazing job. I thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But I don't know you. I know your name. I can see it on Facebook. I'm a Facebook friend. That's what Facebook gives you, lots of friends you don't know, doesn't it? It can be dangerous in some ways because you can settle for all these relationships. But you're welcome to talk to me afterwards if you want to. We can schedule sozo because I don't know you. I don't know your junk. And I understand where you're coming from because I'm there. I mean, that. And I've done sozos with people like that. Anyway, we can talk later about that. But I hope I answered your question. And when we ask questions, it helps everybody else learn. See, she's in that place, but you're going to encounter somebody who's there. You may not have even thought of that struggle because you don't struggle with it. But when she asks that question, it makes you a little more sensitive and understanding when you get that person in your chair. And it can help you from getting a little more frustrated because it can be frustrating talking about people who are analytical and philosophical about everything. Because it feels, when you're not that type of a person, it feels like it's not authentic. They just want ideas. And it's not that they want ideas, they want assurance. But if you don't understand that, but when you hear her ask that question, and when this lady over here talked about the answer she got, and that's a journey, that things that you're going to see. Any of us have anything you want to share, any comments or questions? If not, we'll dismiss for lunch. And I think it's 15:15. I hope I didn't take up all my extra time on questions.